Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
So many people listen to our podcast. Thank you. It's free and live-ish on the listener app. It's
Marlo and Margo. Tell all your friends.
Yeah, well, you get to catch up on it. So if you arrive at work, oh, I missed Marlo and Margo, how can I listen to that show? Because it's my favourite. You just go to the... Well,
download the listener app, you like, you subscribe, you share, you retweet, you Facebook, you Instagram share, and you tell all your friends about it. And you can listen to us whenever you like. If you didn't get enough in the morning, you can go back and listen to yesterday's show as well.
Marto, a headache, just the technology.
I was a bit introspective. It's been 2 hours since I ate that chicken left over from Melbourne Cup in the fridge
here. Are you feeling sick?
No, I'm feeling all right.
I feel like I need to go to the bathroom.
I was thinking
about
that.
I don't eat leftovers, but I did, and I'm questioning.
I was thinking about that mate of yours, Melbourne Cup night.
Oh, she got oysters poisoning, seafood
oysters
poisoning.
Dinner in.
She was really cooked, Marto. She had all day yesterday off, in bed, vomiting as well. Just straight through her. Oysters. I don't think she'll ever look at an oyster again.
Can you just check with her how much weight she took off? Because it's a pretty good, if you know.
Drop a couple of kgs.
Yeah.
Cleans
you out a bit.
Well, that chicken, there'll be more tomorrow.
Have you seen how much chicken
what
in that
what did you say? It's good for 5 days.
I reckon you get five.
Tuesday.
Cooked
so they got it in here for Tuesday for Melbourne Cup because they celebrated in the office.
Yeah, when did they cook it? Last
Today's
Friday?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Maybe if it's still there Monday, I'll have some and then I might drop a couple of kgs for the week.
Not bad.
Monday's stretching it, I'd say.
Yeah.
Anyway, good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
It's the Catch Up Podcast, Marto and Margo.
Should I take it home for the dog?
Leftovers. What's the best leftover pizza? Would you say reheated pizza
gets
or pasta?
Better.
Marto, you reheat and have a lot of leftovers in here. You had a really good-looking burger yesterday of sorts.
I made that one.
That looked really good.
Kath always cooks too much because she forgets that we don't have a son living at home. And no, there's Hillary as well.
Oh, Hillary, yeah.
But we don't have our son and he's
Hillary's always out for dinner. She's never at home eating.
Oh, see that? Gee, that
I follow her
me.
On Instagram.
I know. It really annoys me that everyone knows everything about my son and daughter, but I don't because they see him on it.
That's because you have social media, but you refuse to use it.
No, you know that reason. I bet you. Look, all right.
You say you open it, and
I bet you'll be the first thing I see is you.
But you still don't even ask me what I did.
No, well, I'm not all that interested. Well, I get to see you at work. I don't. Hold on. No. Oh, no, it's my son. First thing I see. Oh, he's surfing. Look at him.
Jesus.
All right, well, let's move on.
Shut up, Jamie.
The Catch Up Podcast, the Triple M.
No, hold on. Margo, you're only... No, that's not you. You're not even in the top 10 things.
You've wasted all this time thinking that you're only ever going to see me and you could have been seeing your son surfing.
Look, there you are.
Can you like it? Please just double tap it.
Which one do you like it with?
Double tap. Just double tap the picture.
Oh.
And then a little red heart comes up.
Oh, you've tricked me into liking it.
Now I'm going to come up in your algorithm and all you're going to see is me. See ya.
The Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for your next Queensland holiday. Whether you're making memories with your favourite travel buddies or embarking on your own adventure of a lifetime, you can't beat days like this in Queensland.
We do love a spectacular disaster story, especially driving and no one got hurt. But I don't know if you saw it last night, that truck with the fiberglass drop-in pool, yes. On its side and the wind must have got it or whatever. So I've just gone truck loser's pool. God, there's a lot of trucks crash into pools. Truck crashes in a swimming pool. Out of control. Truck crashes. There's a lot of trucks going into pools, but that's not what we're after because we're talking about this from Nine News last night.
The truck carrying a pool in its tray rounds the bend. As high winds pick up, the pool flipping, taking the back of the truck with it. The pool bouncing off the side of the road, sending the truck and its cargo right way up again.
Oh, incredible.
Jesus.
Incredible.
No one hurt, luckily.
Play on.
Keep driving.
See, they'll just... The hole would have been there on site, I suppose. I wonder if they dropped it in before the owners noticed.
Oh, well, you know what is annoying? If they had to wait. They would have had to have waited so long to get that pool.
We're going
to
get our pool for Christmas.
We're going to have a pool for Christmas. No, we're not. I need to order a new one. That's another 6 months.
Oh, that bloke. Can you imagine? So it was obviously some sort of wicked crosswind got hold of the thing.
Yeah.
So
top heavy.
All right. We've done it before.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, this. When did...
Oh.
When did you lose your load?
Of course we've done this before.
Truckies. Truckies, when did you not tie it down tight enough? When did the wind get hold of it?
Well, I told you about that time that I ran over a ladder because it hurtled off the back of someone's ute down the highway.
Tell you what I do. Before Snatchies, I used to always tie down with ropes. Dad was a semi-trailer driver. I knew how to tie things down. But I tell you what, pine studs, you know pine studs used for frame, you tie them on. Some of the ones, if you don't tie it down tight enough, the slip ones through. In the middle when hit the anchors. One day across, just I'm sitting there, I have hit the brakes to go, you know, stop at a red light, and bang, I reckon 20 of them. There is nothing more embarrassing than getting out of your ute and picking up 20 studs from the middle of a red. You lose your load.
Pretty simple concept, I think. 1-3-3-5-3.
No more explanation needed.
Brad from Wynnum, good morning.
Well, a few years ago, I was driving a little bit of a flatbed truck, and the load wasn't tied down properly because it was a little bit too high, and went around the corner and lost a whole load of mangoes and spread it all over the road.
Not the mangoes.
That's magnificent. What was the reaction of the crowd? Did you get people coming and picking up some free mangoes?
Actually, I did, yeah, a couple of the boxes because, they were still on the back of the truck. But, yeah, everyone just pretty much got their phone out and started pointing and taking pictures.
Brad, magnificent. Were you in trouble?
No, it wasn't too bad, actually, so they got away with it.
Do you know what the load was worth? Because a tray of mangoes, what's that, 20, 25 bucks each?
I suppose so.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, thanks for your call, Brad.
On the burner phone, Pete from Jindalee, mate of mine, bought a brand new motorbike. He walked it off the showroom floor, tied it down on the back of his ute, driving home, one of the straps gave way, the bike came off and smashed all over the road.
Oh. Probably didn't even have insurance yet.
Lose your load. Victor, you know what we're talking about?
Yeah, I sure do, mate.
What happened?
I, in my third day at my previous employer, got three pallets of coke put on the truck to deliver to a shop.
Yes.
I turned left, the coke turned right.
Yeah, what happened? Was it a failure, a tie-down failure?
It was, mate. It was on my behalf, mate, because I didn't want to destroy the boxes.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of pulling the straps down and start breaking the boxes. And I'm like, okay, right, yeah, I'll stop there.
Vic, what happens? Do you just keep driving and go home and just go, well, that's the end of that job?
Well, I thought that was the end of the job, but the boss was really helpful. He came out with a skip bin and about 50-odd people sort of helped me clean it up.
Yeah, good job. Boss, they just ride it off.
Said, as long as there's nothing on the road when we leave, you guys can fill your boot and we fill the bin.
Magnificent. Okay. Oh, that's a good result, Victor.
Yeah. Mark from Wellington Point. Good morning.
Yep. How you going? Yep, back in the 80s.
Hang on, Mark. Slow down. Yeah, we need to set up your story with this.
I'll try again.
And then Mark, tell us what happened.
Yeah, back in the 80s, the old man helped a couple of old ladies move from next door, and when they moved down to their new house, they couldn't put their piano into their house, so they offered it to my dad for my cousins that were musical.
Oh, good.
So we went down to pick it up, put it in the back of the ute, made it 50 yards down the road, out onto Old Cleveland Road east at Birkdale, and it fell off the back of the ute into a million pieces. So the sound was atrocious, and standing there in the middle of Old Cleveland Road east at Birkdale with a shovel, shoveling it back into the ute. And then they rung up on Friday saying, how is it? How does it sound?
Yeah, sounds great. what did they have a recorded piano? Yeah, listen to it. We're just playing it now. That's excellent, Mark. Oh. Hey, take one more.
Willie from Bribie Island. I'm going to assume Willie. Hey. When did you lose your load? When did you lose your load, Willie?
I was driving buses for the council back in the 80s there, and I come underneath the Sylvan Road Bridge at Toowong, and there was two portaloos all over the road, like with their contents all over the road.
Mm. Oh, so he's hit the bridge.
taking out these portaloos.
Willie, was the person where the truck with the portaloos came off, was it still there, or he just said, I'm out of here?
There. It was actually the old compressor hire service, you know, before they were coats.
Yeah, righto. Well, don't mention their name, the poor bastards.
That's why they're no longer.
Did you help?
It's one of my best mates.
Oh, did you help him clean up? Did you get the shovel out?
my tooting away for the
last.
See ya.
You
want to
be
on your own, son.
Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Oh, Margot, the Queensland vaccine rate, it's becoming boring. Like it says on the front page of the Courier Mail, 78.5 had their first dose. That means they're going to have their second dose.
Well
so
done.
Surely
round
we're
of
nearly.
Applause.
Yeah,
good
I think
you.
So. But oh, they just carry on and on. And you know, the incentives, we've been talking about that for a while, the incentive programs. What's the $1 million one you keep talking
million
about?
$1 million vax.
What
you
is
can
it again?
Register online or something and you
can
win.
Can I do it?
Yeah. But Jamie's registered.
Day one.
Oh, you idiot.
I think they do like weekly draws of $1,000 and then eventually someone in the end will win $1 million.
All right. Well, we've been talking about the incentives, the ones they've offered overseas and Queensland.
Donuts.
Yeah, we've been doing it, you know. Oh, that's right, the donut. Well, yesterday, Yvette Darth, she a health minister, she stepped up and said, righto, you can get your vax at a new place, plus we've got an incentive coming.
The community clubs across Queensland wanted to do their bit in supporting the vaccination rollout by offering families $10 vouchers for anyone who's getting their first dose.
What about that one? So RSLs.
Isn't the whole point of community clubs is we're supposed to be donating money to them, not them to us?
Yeah, but they're just trying to help. They're going, what can we do?
29 clubs from the southeast to the north will be participating over the weekend. And 7,250 meal vouchers are up for grabs.
$10 vouchers.
It's not really an incentive.
It's not enough. And I think we all know, and let's just speak the plain truth here. Why do you go to the RSL or a community club? You go to play
cheap
the
wine.
Pokies.
Oh.
You pretend you're you pretend you're going to have a meal. Oh, you'll have a bit of something to eat. You have that meal and you wolf it down.
You get the
and
special.
You get straight into the pokey lounge. So what I'm saying is forget about the $10 off your meal. What you want is get into that pokey lounge as soon as possible.
You could turn your 10 into 20, Marto.
I'm saying, no, make it like Squid Game when you get really desperate. You get down to your last credits, okay? You got 50 cents or something left on the machine.
Shoot them.
I'll have it. No, shooting people.
Isn't that what they do in Squid Game? They kill people.
Machine number 14, I need a jab. And then you get the jab and they give you ding, 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 you're down low again. I'll have my second. And then I've had a boost. You'll get 22 shots.
Give it to me.
In one
load
Saturday.
Load me up, Scotty.
Oh, I love it.
You'll go out, you'll be full of juice.
Big breakfast.
Enough facts.
At Triple M.
Oh, bugger.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Have you got the what I'm after?
Oh, yeah.
Mad Mum.
It's that time of the week. Can
what
we run this?
What are you looking at me like that for?
Mad Mum. Well, I saw one the other day. Can I run through this? Mad Mums. Great.
Mad Mum.
Who takes their baby, like it looked like a three-month-old, to the races on Melbourne Cup Day? There's no place for that, is it? Is that Mad Mum behaviour?
Mad Mum.
I'm okay with it.
Oh, come on. Have a year off, love.
Maybe she couldn't find a babysitter.
Well, you don't need to go to the races then. Yeah, why do you take your
why
baby?
Why should she miss out?
Well, I think
why can't she have fun and be a mum too? Maybe she's breastfeeding.
That is not fun.
Maybe she bought a really amazing dress that she wanted to get use out of while it still fit her.
You're not going to win this, Marta.
No, it doesn't sound like it. What about that caller from the other day?
For about 7 months, I downloaded music off this like Big Pond app. One day when I came home from school, my mum sat down and said that I downloaded $1,200 worth of music. And from that, decided to sell my bed, my desk, and my cupboard.
That's a proper mad mum. That's how close I am to taking my children's iPads off them. You knew I took them off them at the beginning of the year, and they've only just recently got them back. 8 months, 9 months, 10 months they went without them because I forgot. And then I forgot, and they weren't charged, so it didn't matter anyway. Yeah. And I've just recently given them back. And this morning already, I have received 4 requests from my 5-year-old to download apps because that's part of the
what
new
gig. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to throw them. I'm going to throw them in the bloody Logan River. That's what I'm going to do. I'm sick of them already. They fight over them. It's not charged. Ah, I want my iPad. Sick of it.
Would you think it's a good idea? Remember, there was one, a bloke rang up and said his mum grabbed all their electric device, went out, got the car keys and kept running over them then in front of them. Well, does that work as a parenting technique?
When his mate was over too. I don't think there's anything more awkward than when you're at a sleepover at a mate's house and their mum goes off and you're just standing there awkwardly going, oh, my I might go home now.
She doesn't hit me with a thong as well. Now, what's that new show on TV, the parental control?
Parental guidance.
Parental guidance. Now, what about if a mad mum went on that show? They'd sort them out, wouldn't they? Oh, you've gone insane.
There's
You're
a
mad.
Few mad mums on there already, I think, Marto. I think they'll start to unfold. 1-3-5-3. Let's mad mum. Have you got a tale of when your mum went mad? Or maybe you are a mad mum and you want to...
I'll accept... mad grandmums. Like they they get stuck into it too.
Crazy and wild.
So mums going off. And if you spot anyone, Margo, maybe you could invite them along to Gambaro's tomorrow.
Oh, I love a mad mum. Can join me for some margaritas.
Oh,
they might
that's all
need
a mad
them.
Mum needs. A bit of jungle juice.
1-3-3-5-3.
Because they're full of love. Mad mums can be full of love.
I love my children, but
they're mad.
They annoy me sometimes.
Chloe from Wellington Point, do you understand what we're talking about?
I absolutely do.
I can hear there's a baby in the background, Chloe. How many children? What are you a mother of?
So I have 4 children. I have my 2 daughters, one to my partner, and he also has 2 sons. So we've got 2 7-year-olds, a 10-year-old, and a 10-week-old.
Oh, Chloe. You
can be, any of your behaviour can be excused.
We totally can justify that for you.
Thank you very much.
What happened?
Sitting outside, having a nice drink out on the back deck, and the 9-year-old comes out and, going off about his iPad, and my partner and I had had enough, and we accidentally threw the iPad too far and it went over the neighbour's fence.
Wow. is it like a ball? Do you just lean over and could you throw
Excuse
that
me.
Back over?
Sorry.
We sheepishly had to go next door and be like, excuse me, and then we have this lovely old lady that lived next door.
I totally understand, Chloe. Their iPads, they can be annoying and frustrating, all that technology, and you put all the restrictions on so they can only see what you want them to see, but then it ends up doing your head in because you're the one that's got to put all the passwords in and accept the requests. It's more hard work,
isn't it? I don't remember the password. You're like, crap, what was the password? I don't know.
I can't remember.
Chloe,
Thanks, Chloe. Mel from Newport, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, Mel, is it you the mad mum or did you have a mad mum?
I am the mad mum. I'm the crazy mum. Oh, my son was obsessed with AFL, kicking the ball around the house. And I said, good on him.
That's how you get to the top.
It is. But it was driving me crazy. He was breaking things.
Breaking things.
Constantly being kicked.
There's a price to pay, Mel.
Not in the house.
There's a price to pay to be an elite sports person.
Take it outside.
Yeah, sorry, Mel.
Exactly. So I told him, no more kicking the ball in the house. If you do it, I'm going to get rid of the ball. And anyway, he kept doing it and I went crazy. I got a knife. And I stabbed his AFL ball and his AFL ball. My husband was like, why did you do that ball? That was a good AFL ball.
You know how much they cost,
I know, Sharon. But he didn't do it again, so it worked. I had to carry through with the threat.
Now, has he got another ball?
He had about 10 balls, so I thought it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
Totally get it.
Do you feel bad?
Did you have some guilt? I did feel a bit bad.
Did you go buy him another ball?
It wasn't a leather one, so it was all right.
You're a champion.
Mel just heads back to her Rebel Sport and they go, again? She's like, I need another AFL ball, please.
I'm going to need another knife.
Courtney from Drupal. Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, Courtney.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
Are you a mad mum or have you got a mad mum?
I have a mad grandmum.
A mad grandma.
Oh, dear. Let's go.
What's Nana been up to?
All right, so when we were little in our old house, we had my brother decided to play hairdresser for the day and cut all of our hair.
How old was he, just out of interest?
He was about 7, so I was about 8. Cool. I don't know how he got me into it, but, yeah, he was cutting my hair and my little sister's hair.
Yeah, I love it.
Grandmum was watching us, obviously, and
not very closely. Yeah, sorry.
She picked him up by under the shoulders, took him outside and threw him in the bindi patch that we had.
The bindi patch. Only a matter of think of that.
The good old bindi patch.
Bindi patch got him.
Isn't that good punishment with a bit of nature
That's
involved?
Old school. That's old school punishment.
didn't have shoes on either, so he was...
Were there lessons learnt there, Courtney, or just stories that we'd be able to use at family reunions?
Oh no, it's definitely a memory that gets brought up every now and then.
Bit of PTSD.
It's in our memories, that's for sure.
How do you go when you see the bindies coming out in spring?
Yeah, no, it brings back memories, that's for sure.
Oh, that's fabulous. Good grandma.
Hey, Courtney, do you want to come to lunch with me tomorrow? Are you free?
Sure, yeah, definitely.
Margaritas with Margo, how does that sound?
Sounds good, good.
How's your hair? Awesome. How's your hair looking? Is it all right? We need to send the brother over, get you ready.
Well, I'm a hairdresser, so I don't
know. All right. Hey, we'll see you tomorrow at Gambaro's. Thanks for the call.
Awesome, thank you.
Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Western Australia and indeed Australia breathed a big sigh of relief yesterday when they announced they'd found Cleo Smith. Not a lot of information because the police are wrapping up their investigation, questioning the suspect. And today they were saying they're going to go through things with Cleo, what she says, which is pretty tough for a four-year-old. And that, and we were saying to ourselves, how are they going to do this? What happens? A man that does understand a lot of what we're talking about here, Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, welcome back to the show, child and adolescent psychologist.
Good morning, guys.
Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, in a situation like this where we see Cleo Smith just 4 years of age, those first years are so impressionable and they're like little sponges. They soak it all up. What out of this situation will she remember, and what will be the damage sustained psychologically, I guess, is the most important thing?
Well, obviously, it depends on the young person themselves and their previous experience. And so everything I say is kind of generalised. It doesn't relate specifically to her. But four-year-olds, by and large, are just learning to express emotions. Play is really important to them. Moving and being active is really important. Regularity, having a routine. So I imagine, given the fact that it appears, allegedly, that she was picked up from this camping ground and then driven 75 kilometres back to her home, that would have been confusing. It would have been frightening. She would have spent, I think it's 18 days, pretty much away from her familiar circumstances. So, confused, lonely, and frightened. I think those are the things that she would have been feeling.
So have you been involved in any of these cases where they have to question the child and they use dolls and things like that? Do you understand this world?
Yeah. So the way in which it works is that four-year-olds don't generally have a fabulous vocabulary to express emotion.
Yeah.
But what they do love doing is playing. So you can use puppet play or dolls or drawings to elicit information from her. And what will happen over the next couple of days and weeks is gently, slowly, experienced people will sit down with her and get her to recount in play what it is that she has gone through. And at four, you've still got a pretty good memory. And if something's pretty frightening, then that memory will stick.
Dr. Michael Carr-Gregg, how does the family move forward through this and process this? This is obviously something that will stay with her parents forever. It's not something that they will ever forget. It's something that Cleo may possibly forget depending on how they work through it over time. But how is this something that they process from, you know, now?
So this is every parent's worst nightmare.
Worst nightmare.
No question. So it's a loss experience. The way psychologists would look at this is that she's got to process, they've both got to process, the mum and dad, stepdad, the loss, the grief, the shock, the anger. That will take a while. Probably the best thing to remember is that the most powerful way to process these emotions is to talk about them. So hopefully they'll get counselling. But in the end, the good news is that many of these families do, particularly when they're reunited with their loved ones, do manage to move on. This potentially could be a very resilience-building exercise for them.
You say move on. Would you leave that town and try to start? Would you change your name? And because
start afresh.
It's a very famous incident. It's one of the more famous incidents in Australia in the last 10 years. Would you move, as in start somewhere anew?
I would if I felt that the social support wasn't there for me. this little girl is going to have notoriety for the rest of her life. Yeah. And I'm hoping that her parents can shield her a bit from that. But look, I understand things can get a bit willing in country towns, and there's already a bit of blaming of going on because a lot of people suspected the parents, and it can get quite ugly. So I think probably moving, if the social supports aren't there, might not be a bad idea.
Michael, tell me, just from your professional opinion, I know there's an investigation still pending and there's probably things you can and can't say, but did this look to you like something that had been planned out? I heard a psychologist say last night on the news that he wasn't mad, but he was bad, meaning that this was a bad person that did a bad thing. It wasn't just a haphazard taking of a child that you've spotted in a park, that this could possibly have been planned out and he may have been familiar with Cleo and the family living in the area.
Given the fact that he lived, I think it was 7 minutes away from her home, and that allegedly he drove to where they were camping, 75 km away, it's got a sense of planning involved in it, no question. So you've got a potential lone wolf. God only knows what his motivation was. The best thing to come out of this is the amazing police work. I mean, just extraordinary. Mm. And we should all remember how hard they worked to get this result.
Hey, thanks for answering some tough questions, Dr. Michael Carr. Greg, thanks for joining the show again.
Always a pleasure.
The Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30
on Triple M.
You know what? If you if you missed any of last night's cricket action, you can catch up with KO Mini's ICC T20 Cricket World Cup. It's, well, it's condensed match highlights. And if you're new to KO, you can start your free trial today.
Margo, I think anyone who's ever listened to me on radio would realise that my favourite body contact athlete in the world of all time is Brad Thorne.
Yes, you do like him.
I've spoken about him before. If anyone's just joined us, this man is he can't ever been beaten. I can't believe, like, as a winner, this human being played for 22 years as a professional body contact athlete.
Played both rugby league and rugby union.
Yeah, he played 60 tests for the All Blacks. He played 200 games for the Broncos.
Dual international? Did he play for Australia?
Yeah, he played for the Kangaroos. Won Kangaroo Test Series. He won Origin Series. He's playing second row for the Queenslanders. He won three NRL premierships with the Broncos, like 96, 97 and 2000. That would have been Brad Thorne.
I know he was in the 06 grand final too, Marto, so four?
Jesus. Maybe.
We're fact-checking as we speak.
Well, I know because his wife was in labour at the 06 grand final and I was there.
While
the game was on. Then she got helicoptered out of the stadium.
Confirmed four.
Yeah. So you won four premierships. Hold on, I want to hear this.
She got helicoptered out of the stadium because she was in labour at the end of the game, and they flew her to the hospital and she delivered her baby in Sydney.
That's extraordinary. Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That makes him even better. So he went straight. Oh, he's just incredible. Oh, well, sorry. He won a Super Rugby, okay, with the Crusaders.
Yep.
He won more than one. They won a heap. He won a Rugby World Cup and he won the European Championship with Leicester. Like,
and he's just the most laid-back, coolest fella ever, isn't he, Brad?
22
Thorne?
Years. He's a monster. Incredible. He destroys. He eats weights for breakfast. He's
Coaches
the Reds since 2017. They won this year. All right, that's the end of his achievements. And you go, he's past it now. Like, surely he's let himself go. He's probably become decrepit. You know, no one's seen him on a football field for a while. He's coaching now. Yeah, you don't train so hard, do you?
Post-footy gut.
Yeah, he'd be weak, you'd think, wouldn't you?
No.
They had a little exercise yesterday at the Reds, you know, these team building things and building culture and stuff.
We do those army camps.
Yeah, they do that. Well, yesterday they took the dog squad. Now, I think you've been involved with this when they bring, you get dressed up in the big outfit.
I did that in East Timor. It's scary as.
They nail you,
don't they?
There is no stopping those dogs until one of those dogs comes up against Bradley Carnegie Thorne.
At 46, Coach Brad Thorne showed he's still top dog. This canine struggling to get him to ground. Boy, oh boy, I think that dog had its work cut out there.
Okay, sorry, Walt. Shush, Walt. Dog couldn't hit
him. Dog couldn't get him down.
We're going to need the taser. I reckon there'd be eight blokes tasering, and he is incredible.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to talk about.
Marto's thought
but
on
you're
sport.
You're going to tell us they're going to make a new movie instead of Black Hawk Down. It'd be Brad Thorne. Not down.
Never down. You can't stop the bloke.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Marto, have you had that moment yet where you go, oh, geez, I sound like my mum or my dad, or geez, I'm getting old? Have you ever had one of those moments?
Only for the last 15 years. Why?
Well, I observed, oh my God, their old moment because I was having a conversation the other day at a birthday party and there was a gentleman there who drove a Tesla and we were talking about Elon Musk and his SpaceX heading up into space and the Tesla and they're seeing more and more of them. I mean, Tesla at our school is like a Holden at any other school. Like, they're everywhere. Everybody's got a bloody Tesla.
Really?
Yeah. Mums drive them,
what's
dads drive them.
What's going on there?
Everybody's got one. Are they sure.
Is that for greenness?
Well, I think, you know, they're either tech nerds, IT nerds, or it's cool, or they've got the money and they don't want a Land Cruiser, so they buy a four-wheel drive Tesla.
I don't see too many of them around. They must be all down your
very
way.
Very trendy, I think.
Okay.
But anyway, we're talking about the Tesla and Elon Musk, and one of the gentlemen snapped up and said, "Who's Elon Musk?" We all looked at him. We said, "You know, the bloke that invented Tesla, the electric cars." And he goes, "What's a Tesla?" And we said, "Oh, okay, righto, wrong demographic. Clearly old, but had no idea what, who, or what an Elon Musk was, or what a Tesla was."
But if you can't, if you don't follow news, and you maybe come from the bush, you'd never, you would have no idea.
Yeah, well, I like have those
moments. I bet you there's no Teslas out the bush.
Oh, no, there's no Teslas. He lives up in Toowoomba.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like got a 1989 Kawasaki jet ski that you know. He's like, "I'll race it." The damn Margot. He's pretty funny. But I was kind of like, I have those moments with my parents, with my parents-in-law, where they don't know how to use technology, you know, and so how do I send a photo? Or when you FaceTime them, that you're looking at their ear, and I'm like, no, hold the phone out towards your face. I mean, my grandparents in their 80s, late 80s and 90s have an email that they use, and they send emails. They like forward those email chains,
yes,
you know those ones.
My mother does that. My mother calls it that silly Instabook thing. That's her social media, Instabook.
That's their only way of retaining some sort of, you know, tech space with us. But old people not knowing what things are, because obviously they've been through, they've seen the war, they've been through the plague. But technology is
no, the plague was
a bit of a generalisation.
They've seen stuff. Yeah. But technology, it moves so quickly and so fast. There's a new iPhone coming out every 5 minutes with new technology and upgrades, and it's hard to keep up with stuff sometimes. Like Elon Musk, and what is a Tesla? 133353, I want to know. Old people that don't know things. What have you had to try and explain to somebody who's a little bit older about, you know, the new up-and-coming things technology-wise that they're not so familiar with and they've got to learn? You know, it's like an unoverly optimistic motto. You often talk about overly optimistic oldies.
It'd be like me going on TikTok.
This is just old people have got no idea what's going on. And what is a Tesla? Well, it's a car. It's an electric car, and that's what we're all going to be driving one day.
So when the oldies don't know things, that's what you're after.
Yeah.
Marto on TikTok. That's something I'd like to see.
Oh, dance moves. I'll die before I need it.
Well, I have induction cookware, like a cooktop at my house. Okay. And my mother and mother-in-law, every time they come over, they always get very confused with how it works because they're used to the old gas stove, you know, the cooktop where you just turn the thing, click, 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 and it like ignites, whereas mine, you have to have special pans to be able to sit on top, otherwise it doesn't heat up, and it's all very confusing to them.
So which one's smarter? Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I can still use a gas cooktop. I had to use one at Morton when we stayed at your house because there were no appliances other than gas. The oven. There was no microwave. There was no kettle. There was none of that stuff. We had to go back to, you know, very simplistic living, which was wonderful.
But this started with oldies often will go, I don't care. I'm ignoring all that. And this person you spoke to the other day
didn't know what a Tesla was. Tesla he was. Said, "Who is Elon Musk?" John from Mitchelton, 133353. Have you had one of these moments where an old people or an old person didn't know what something very current and modern was?
Yeah, my mum, when DVDs first came out, took over the old VCRs. We all sat down and watched the DVD and my dad told her to rewind it.
What is this little disc thing? I guess it's the same and the opposites, you know, whereas young kids see old, like my kids wouldn't know what a cassette tape is.
Oh, of course not.
That was never my around. Mom,
when mobiles, you know, I took ages to get a mobile, but when she first started ringing me, she'd go, "Oh, pick up if you're there, Greg." I think it was like a recorded phone.
I think you still have the very first phone that you ever bought, Marto.
No.
And the very first case you ever bought.
This thing's all right. It's still cranking.
Leanne from Brackenridge, hello.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good. Technology can be hard to master, particularly if it's not something you're familiar with. Have you had a situation where an older person didn't know what it was?
Yes, my parents, when they first got their phone, Mum called me one night and I messaged back saying, I'm out, ATM. And then an hour later I called her back and I said, oh, you rang? She goes, yeah. Geez, it took you a long time at the ATM.
I think what you meant was at the moment, yes?
At the moment,
yes. She didn't get the text slang.
No,
my kids do that. They talk in short, in like
and that's what they want because it keeps you out. If you talk in slang and jargon, it keeps outsiders away from you.
LOL.
See, I never know what that means, little old lady. What does LOL
mean? Yeah, that's exactly
right.
Yeah, just run with that. Run with that, Marto.
Let's just do it, okay?
Triple M's Big Breakfast
with Marto and Margo.
Margo, here on The Big Breakfast, we've spoken to winners in all sports. Melbourne Cup winners, World Cup winners.
NRL Grand Finalists.
Cricket World Cup winners. We've spoken on all. Every legend of sport always comes on this show. But I tell you what, do you remember a couple of days ago we spoke about what I thought was the outstanding sports event of the weekend when Wales played the mighty All Blacks at Millennium Stadium in the middle of Cardiff?
The bloke that jumped the fence.
Jarvo. And if anyone saw it, we said straight as soon as you get to work, have a look at Big Jarvo. He takes his kit off. He's in the All Blacks gear. He strides straight past the security, ends up next to Tyrell Lomax on the end of the national anthem for New Zealand.
He had a jersey with his name on the back.
Jarvo, 69.
And of course, you said that he did it at the cricket, but not once. You thought he did it twice.
That's right. We have a guy who steps across all sport. He's been to Lords this summer over in England. In the autumn, he's been to Wales and been to one of the great rugby stadiums of the world. And he's with us now. And what a great coup it is, Jarvo. G'day, mate.
Yeah, how are you?
We're great. We saw the footage of you just casually, very casually jumping over the fence and running into the line to sing the New Zealand national anthem. Did you know the words, Jarvo?
No, I've not got a clue.
Now, how are you cooking up? Like, the Indians were good enough. We failed to. I didn't realise there had been two Indian incidents. Can you talk everyone through?
There's been three.
Okay, we
spoke about the one where you came on it after lunch break and started trying to move the field and Virat Kohli fell over laughing. What were the other two with the Indian cricket team when you came onto the field?
Yeah, I've done that one. Then the second one, I come on as a batsman. I've got the whole full kit, the leg, the shin pad, the helmet, and I just walked on. And then the third one, I've done a run on as a bowler.
Are you not getting fined for all these pitch invasions?
No. I've not been banned from any stadiums yet.
Who's your team of choice if you were to invade the soccer pitch?
I've done Tottenham Hotspurs about 5 years ago.
How'd that go?
Me and my friend. They stopped the match. It's on my YouTube channel if you want to watch that one.
What's
that
your YouTube channel, Jarvo?
BMW Jarvo. It's Jarvo 69.
Do you drive a BMW?
No, I made up that name ages ago. It's supposed to stand for Britain's Most Wanted. And I've made up loads of usernames of that, and now it's just stuck.
You'll find in the next couple of hours when people from Brizzy here get to work, they'll be checking you out, mate. So, hey, thanks for the chat. I think you're an inspiration to some.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and that's the problem. We play that and people go, oh, I don't know, I jumped the fence one. And you shouldn't be jumping the fence, of course. But in the old days, when someone would score a try, you'd jump the fence and hug them. It used to be all okay.
I had a girlfriend who did it. I've never done it personally, but my girlfriend, we were down in the Hunter Valley at a day on the green, and we were down there to see Cyndi Lauper and Blondie play.
Yes.
And she was like a mad fan. And they had all that, you know, like that temporary fencing up. So she tried to jump over that to get backstage to see if she could get a glimpse. But she was wearing one of those cape things, you know, you put over your clothes. And it got caught on the fence.
She was hanging. she was hanging.
She was hanging and she couldn't get undone. And we all on the other side of the fence couldn't help her because we were laughing too hard at her. We were like, sucked in, that serves you right for trying to get across the fence. And then security ended up having to help her down.
We're obviously going to get calls here. When did you jump the fence and try to get involved in the action? I've only been caught once. I jumped the fence at the Gabba after a day's play. The players had left, but we used to be able to walk out and have a look at the pitch.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, the security security guard operation came in the 90s and 2000s. Yeah,
they ruin everything.
So we did a distract. We said, I'm still getting on. Like after play, you think the players are gone, but they're still guarding the thing. I'm nearly just past my prime. I'm able to run. I'm able to sidestep. I jumped over. The fat security guy thought I got him covered. Sidestep, slipped. He snicked a quick one into my ribs and then picked me up hogtied and threw me over the fence.
You deserve that.
I certainly did.
I'd love to see that footage.
It was just disgraceful. I should have been straight past him. Anyway, that's what we're talking about. When did you get over the fence and onto the field?
What happened?
All right, and got a reward for you because you might have copped the $5,500 fine. $100 to spend at CNL Tools for our favourite caller, 1-333-5-3.
Say good on you, mate.
Call the Big Breakfast.
That was funny.
A Triple M.
James from Arana Hills. Good morning.
Morning. Yeah, young guys.
James, did you sneak somewhere, jump a fence, jump onto the pitch?
Yeah, I did. When I was about 10 years old, me and my mates were riding our little pushies around, as we do, and we came across a school cricket game. My mates decided, they go, oh, yeah, it'd be funny if someone did a nerdy run. And so, yeah, I stood up to the challenge. They said, yeah, $20 if you do it. I was like, bang, let's do it.
You're a 10-year-old naked James just running across the local cricket pitch.
Repercussions, James?
Consequence?
No repercussions. But when I went, I ran into the change rooms, got unchanged, gave my mates my clothes. Ran across the field only to find they're about 200 metres down the road, so I had to run an extra 200 metres down the road.
No, you weren't surprised, though, James. Surely everybody knows. That's the oldest trick in the book.
James, just in terms of soft drugs leading to hard drugs, did it lead to you becoming an adult streaker?
Not an adult streaker, but an adult nudist, yes. I have been known to get my kid off after a few days.
Adult nudist.
Does keep his number. We might need to speak to him.
Joe, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How you going?
Yeah, good, mate.
Jump the fence.
Are you familiar?
No, it was my great uncle, actually. Dad tells me the story that back at Eden Park in 1977, he jumped across playing cricket. And I think it was Greg Chappell got him on the ass with the cricket bat.
That was your great uncle. I remember that day. Oh, my God. Yeah, it came in, ran right near where Greg Chappell was batting. He swung the bat and hit him in the ass.
Oh, my God. Magnificent.
Oh, Joe, we've got royalty listening. It's incredible.
There's a video of it online.
Yeah, we'll have a look. Don't worry.
Good on you, Joe. You got $100 to spend at CNL Tools. CLToolsCentre.com.au. They're in Banyo. Check them out. And thanks for the call, Triple M.
How good.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Hey, how about we talk about workplace rock-ups? Yesterday, Wednesday, you didn't come out with me yesterday.
Sorry.
I snuck out without you. Mm. Hey, every Wednesday, of course, if you give us a yell, we'll send a tasty fresh lunch van. Now, we've only been using them for about 5 or 6 weeks.
You're saying they're good.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
This is an operation.
What's so good about it?
Righto.
So it's like the Smoko van, that
are all over the joint. This is the next level. Out the back, they've got drawers with all the hot stuff, and then at the side, they've got the fresh stuff and the drink. It's brand new.
They offer all options.
Everything's
it's not
made
just pies and meat pies. There's sandwiches and
there's all sorts of varieties.
Rolls.
I don't
want to
get we got to push on. I know because we got traffic and news coming up. Yesterday, so you nominate, and Harry was the guy I nominated from Impact Labels.
Yeah.
And I'm going, this will be interesting. I don't know what I'm in for here. What sort of labels? I'll give him a name and not name and shame. I did the roll call first. Yeah.
Camp Dion Bidu
Harry.
All right, and there was Ben, and as I said, Harry, they're a great bunch. Big factory, 20 people working there.
Where at?
I'd call it Combsley. They were calling it Morningside, down near the river at Combsley.
That's
okay?
Like me saying I live in Mount Cotton instead of Cornubia.
No. Yeah, yes, kind of.
Next suburb over. Yeah,
I know, Morningside is a little bit classier than Combsley, but quite simply, it's that road where you go down to Raptor Seafoods. There's never been anything there. It's been bush. There used to be, I think, an abattoir down there. Now, there's just all those, they smack up those precast concrete warehouses.
Industrial warehouses,
I reckon I was down there a year ago and there was nothing, and now all of a sudden there's about eight or ten warehouses. It's extraordinary. So you go in there, what do you think? How do you think we do labels? These people.
For beer bottles?
Yes.
Like that sort of labeling?
Yeah.
Not
for
books.
Food, for all the
tins,
supermarkets
cans,
and stuff.
Cans, jars.
I didn't realise. And they don't just they're all in these big roles. Actually, I'll let Ben explain it.
We print labels, basically.
So tell me some of the businesses you print for.
We do tasty truck work.
Oh, you do the truck?
We do all these.
Oh, all the information, all the food information on the labeling. What about supermarkets?
All the stuff on supermarket shelves. So
oh, I don't know.
Coles, Aldi, Woolworths.
You never think about where to come from. How did you get into this?
I don't know, it's random, right?
It's really random.
It is really random. So you'd die if you didn't have them because they wouldn't tell you when you could eat some food.
I always check the labels to see the sugar, the carbs, the sodium, you know, whether it's got good stuff in it or bad stuff, how many ingredients.
I thought my label story was boring. Do you really read all that nonsense?
Always, check the labels.
I said to him, I'm always peeling off your labels while I'm having a beer talking to a boring guy. You know when you're talking to a boring guy and you're picking the label off?
I peel the labels off so I can fill the jars with honey and sell them. Can't leave the Dolmio's the label on it, can you?
No, that is so true. Well, you could.
So I undo all of their good hard work.
I know. Right. Well, there you go. Everyone does something. Like, you're going, where does that come from? I found out yesterday. Well done, Impact Label.
And if you want the Tasty Fresh lunch van to come to you, go to tastyfresh.com.au. Check out what they've got. No contracts. They can just rock
register,
up.
Just,
yeah, let them know. And if you want you guys, Marto and Marto, to come out, go to triplem.com.au.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Well, Marto, it doesn't seem like ScoMo has done anything to appease the French in this whole debacle that has unfolded. We saw him stopped over in Dubai on his way home from COP26, where he seems to have destroyed the reputation of Australians. But it's not a reputation that he seemed to uphold anyway, because we heard earlier in the week that he's a bit of a liar.
I think all Australians are wondering if we really just got a Prime Minister who's the liar from the Shire.
Liar from the Shire.
All politicians are the old joke.
Yeah.
What do you call a politician? How do you know a politician is lying? Their lips are moving. They're all bloody liars.
He's now being referred to as ScoNo. And poor Scotty from marketing's copping a bit of a hiding.
And the French hate him.
The French hate him. And it seems Australians hate him too, because even our former Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, had some fighting words.
Scott has always had a reputation for telling lies. I mean, this is a shocking, shocking conduct of Scott Morrison, and he can bluster as much as he likes, but he's not fooling anyone. He's done us enormous. Tell you what Scott Morrison has done. He has sacrificed Australian honour, Australian security, and Australian sovereignty.
ScoMo. What about Malcolm Turnbull coming out with
he's
all the big,
bad,
big, big words? But of course, Scotty blustered his way through rebuking Turnbull's claims.
Those who have objected to that decision have objected for very obvious reasons, with very obvious motives. But I know whose side I'm on.
I know whose side he's on.
Whose side is he on?
He's on Jenny's side.
Jenny and I spoke last night. Jenny has a way of clarifying things.
Can we just appoint her as our Prime Minister already?
She's making the decision.
Really, come on. But the thing is, Marto, there has been a little bit of a bout of words, and, you know, we've been a bit slow in the NRL. There's not much happening at the moment. There hasn't been much happening with the boxing. And, you know, the boxers, they love a stoush of the words.
Oh, it's this time of year.
It's this time of year. Boxing. I thought we should have
he's going to fight Gallant?
The political battle of in the boxing ring.
In the blue corner, ScoMo.
This is Carl. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared.
In the green corner, McCraw.
You think he lied to you?
I don't think. I know.
And in the red corner, Malcolm Turnbull.
It is just bull.
It's on.
Coming to a streaming service near you. That's a fight I'd like to watch.
There'd be some man boobs in that fight.
Keep
your shirt on.
The Triple M Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast for your next Queensland holiday. Whether you're making memories with your favourite travel buddies or embarking on your own adventure of a lifetime, you can't beat days like this in Queensland.